Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
And that was Mountain Dew by Moshe Yes as an introduction to my guest now, who is a Mountain Dew, Nick Rabinowitz, South Africa's leading comedian, actor, author, and media personality. His show, Mountain Dew, opened at Sandton Theatre in the Square earlier this week to packed audiences. I'm delighted to have Nick as my guest to tell me more. Nick, welcome and thanks so much for being with me.
Hello, Charisse. Thank you for playing Mountain Dew by Moshe Yes. Yes!
Yes. Mountain Dew, the theme of identity, Nick, runs throughout your show. And there are many types of Jews one could choose from, including those that are often maliciously imposed from outside, including settler colonialist, baby killer, genocider.
Can I do the list? Can I read
yes,
the list?
Yes, you do the list.
Including racist, ethnic, apartheid-supporting, genocidal, land-grabbing, white settler, colonialist, pink-washing, organ-harvesting, world financial system-controlling, Zion, Nazi Jews who must go back to Lithuania, and we're trying to get the passports.
Right, so that is part of your identity. Those are Jews you have chosen not to identify with, but you are a Mountain Jew. To what extent, Nick, has Jewish identity taken on a different form for you over the last couple of years?
Oh, well, it's a bit, you've asked me such a complex question. I think that I actually read a quote the other day that said anti-Semitism is not the threat to the Jewish people, it's the reason we're still Jews. Okay. We would have given it up long ago. This is the problem that people who want to annihilate Jews forget, is every time they try and do it, we go, okay, we'll go back to shul, fine, we'll be Jewish again. And I think something similar probably happened to me over the last couple of years as well. I mean, I joined the shul choir, Charisse.
To sing Mountain Dew.
Well, hopefully I'm Khoni, my choir master, Khoni G. Oldman, he actually wrote me into the choir, and then he sent me, actually Rabbi Hecht sent me the song, that Khoni actually sent me the song as well, and I'm going to try and persuade him to sing it for the next bar mitzvah.
Back to Jewish identity. Okay, I like the way you said your list of kind of externally imposed identities. Nick, let's first look at the role that comedians have played recently in fighting against anti-Semitism and such labels. Jewish comedians specifically.
I mean, you, I don't know. What's your thoughts about that?
So I'll tell you that I spend many hours, far too many, scrolling from Elon Gold to Yohai Spender to dozens of Zach Margs to et cetera, et cetera. Kind of looking at how they make fun and make sense of the world around us. And I just see, how do you see your role in fitting in with that?
Yeah, I mean, Yochai in particular, one of my favorites. I guess I had to find a way to just process what was happening around me, which was quite ugly and nasty and upsetting at the time. And so I guess the comedy primarily was a form of self-medication for myself to, as Viktor Frankl might have said about using humor to break through the suffering into the other side of that so that I could free myself from being a victim of the situation, and then free others, hopefully, that we can. That is how Jewish humor has functioned for millennia, I think. And that's why Jewish humor is kind of at the root of stand-up comedy as a genre. Yeah.
When you talk about your own family, and this is a very personal show, when you are a stand-up comedian, you're very vulnerable. When you're talking about your own family, do you feel a sense of greater vulnerability?
No. I mean, maybe the sort of raw emotional bits, like talking about my dad's death, I couldn't do it for a long time. It took me 10 years to talk about it on stage. And so I guess there is that. But just sharing myself openly and at times vulnerably is a gift to myself in particular. And it seems from the feedback that other people enjoy it as well.
It was an amazing show. I was there last night. It was the Angel Network fundraiser as well, which added an extra element of excitement. So I know that the audience absolutely engaged with you throughout. Tell me a little bit about different audiences and how they respond.
Different audiences? I mean, the audience is different. I guess every night has a different flavor. And I love connecting with, I mean, diverse audiences are my favorite because you get a lot more to sort of play with. But I don't mind who shows up in front of me. As Jerry Seinfeld said, you got to find a way to love whoever's in front of you.
You spoke about, okay, so we spoke earlier about Jewish comedians, and you continue, obviously, in a great history of comedians. And I'm thinking now of Moti, what's it, Modi?
Modi.
And I think back on kind of one of his shows where he picks on one non-Jewish audience member. And I wonder to what extent Jewish comedians need that one non-Jewish audience member to kind of...
We do.
You do.
We need that one. We always need one. Please show up tonight. It's Friday night. So, like, there may be no good Jews are coming to my show tonight. Only bad ones.
So bad Jews and the one non-Jew to what extent, seriously, does it help to reflect upon yourself and also to reflect on the audience if it is a mainly Jewish audience?
Well, I used to find it challenging because Jewish audiences, kind of like the frumer they are, the harder it is to get them to laugh. But that's not just true of Jewish audiences, it's true of any slightly more conservative crowd. It's sometimes a bit harder, or some of my stuff might, you know, people might have a reaction to. But I love performing for Jewish audiences, and if the non-Jewish people in there, it just kind of enhances the thing, because we now we have to explain, like we have to explain our idiosyncratic ways and things and terms and what is a shiksa, and get into all of that, which is a lot of fun.
And describing your breasts, obviously, what brit mila is, and
the briskets, all of that.
So, and also, to what extent, consciously, was this such a Jewish show?
Well, actually, I was invited to perform or give a talk at Limud, and I'd never been to a Limud before. But I was invited to Birmingham at the end of last year, and I had to come up with five ideas for talks. I think I had to submit five things, and one of which was my life story, which I called Hunter Gatherer Forest Mountain Jew. And the other was about my ancestors coming from Lithuania. I think I called that from Lithuania with love, a bitter gelachter, a bitter laugh. And then I just shortened it to Mountain Jew because of obvious reasons.
Yeah, Craig is actually indicating that our time is just about up, which makes me very, very sad. But I do want to urge people to go. The show runs until the 14th of June. Tickets can be purchased online by phoning the Theatre on the Square or from web tickets, which are also available at Pick and Pay. In your closing remarks, Nick, what can people expect when they visit the Sandton Theatre on the Square?
Oh, they can expect a very red theatre that looks like the inside of a womb. And I think it would also make a wonderful strip club. But I haven't drawn up the proposal for Daphne. But also they can expect wonderful staff and a rollicking laugh unless you find anything I say offensive and walk out early on in the show. But other than that, it'd be a great experience.
So I can assure everybody that there is nothing offensive, and you will, if you're going to be walking out, please don't, because you will be picked on. So I recommend you do all your phoning before the show. But otherwise, you'll not be walking out. So please do go and support Nick at the Sandton Theatre on the Square. That was Nick Rabinowitz, and he was talking about the show Mountain Dew, currently showing.